Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
He kōna e purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hi, this is comedian and depressed alcoholic James Nokise, and you're listening to Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower, a podcast about headspace and happiness for my safe place, the shower with fried chicken.
Today I'm talking to News Hub anchor Samantha Hayes. We'll be chatting about the consistency of vegetarian chicken.
It's kind of a bit bouncy, isn't it? It's just chewy.
Yeah, it's got a rubberiness to it.
Yeah, this looks like it could be waterproof.
Yeah, it could be waterproof. Trying to pee in Antarctica.
You know, there's a no yellow snow policy. If you're a girl, you have a little device thing that kind of makes it easier to pee standing up.
Shiwi.
And it's amazing how often I've talked about this. Oh, because really? Everyone wants to know.
And how she likes to party.
I joined a gym. Yeah, I do the spin classes, which are kind of like clubbing for middle-aged people. You should try it. You want to come with me?
Yeah, I'll come. I will come. I'll come in a second.
Because the music is amazing.
Some of this will get a bit real. The language, the subjects. So make sure you're in a safe space with your comfort food. And join us eating fried chicken in the shower.
Let's have some of this fried chicken.
So we're having, you've been so nice to me today, vegetarian fried chicken.
Excellent.
Have you tried this stuff before?
No, God, no.
I wish we hadn't have told you and I could have seen if you...
If I could tell.
Close to actual chicken or not. I'm going to give this a go.
Are you going to
see what it's like. Oh, that's good. What do you think?
Yeah, that's actually quite good.
Are you lying?
No.
It's kind of a bit bouncy, isn't it? It's just chewy.
Yeah, it's got a rubberiness to it.
Yeah.
Would you do vegetarian fried chicken in the shower kind of thing? Because this is the kind of stuff I would eat in the shower. People seem to be obsessed with what kind of chicken I'm eating in the shower. And like, I keep trying to explain, like, the KFC breast is too cumbersome.
This looks like it could be waterproof.
Yeah, it could be waterproof. We found it. Oh, God, my perfect chicken was a vegetarian. How long have you been a vegetarian?
So I haven't... it's about 24 years.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't eaten any meat since I was maybe about 10 or 11, since I was a kid, yeah.
Excellent. And do you remember it?
Yeah, I grew up in South Otago, and my auntie and uncle had a farm, and I was just really lucky because my auntie had a riding school as part of the farm, and, you know, I'd go up there, ride horses with all the kids that came and stayed. And I just remember being out riding one day, and I guess now looking back, I'd probably call that an epiphany, you know? Yeah. I was riding up the top of the farm, and from this beautiful kind of ridgeline up the top where you can look right over the farm, so I could see the sheep and the little lambies, and I could see the cows and everything, and it was just so beautiful. And I just remember looking out and thinking, I get how this all works. You know, the lambs go away, and then people, they get killed, and then people eat them, and... Mm. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to be a part of that. I mean, everyone else can. Mm-hmm. I actually clearly remember that thought. Everyone else can keep doing it. Mm. In fact, they need to, otherwise we wouldn't have this beautiful farm.
Mm.
But me personally, I don't want to have to eat meat anymore.
Were your parents like into it, or were they like, because you're 10?
No, yeah, they tried to.
This is the rebellion.
Everybody tried to stop me from being vegetarian.
Are you Lisa Simpson?
I think
Simpson?
I might have been the only vegetarian in the village.
Are you Lisa Simpson at the barbecue?
I think I was, yeah. What did Homer say? You don't make friends with salad.
Did you ever try and stop them?
A really good salad, just you make it, FYI, yeah.
Well, okay,
give Maybe me that's a, what I can do after Dancing with the Stars, make like a cookbook. Sam salads. What
Boom.
Do you
I like it. Sam salads. Well, also,
they're not that good.
Hi, Radio New Zealand. It's me again. I'd like to pitch a podcast for 2019 called Sam Salads. where TV3 news anchor Samantha Hayes, or Sam Hayes as she likes to be known, teaches ridiculous comedian James Nikise how to make salads.
How to make salads. Big on salads?
No, but I'm big on RNZ giving me funding for food.
Right.
I can relate to this. Because here's the thing. I'm allergic to pork.
Actually allergic?
Actually allergic. It's it's hormonal, so it kicked in at puberty. And so I grew up eating it all, like ham, bacon, and then, all that. And then suddenly they thought I had glandular fever because I kept passing out and falling asleep.
Turned out
allergic to, like, now in the Samoan culture, where I come from, that is that's quite a holy food. You have that's if you get married, they cook a pig in the honor. Pork's a big part. So that was my dad going, I think he's trying to rebel. I don't know what this is, but so I do relate to, because every now and then I have to like remind, but it's not, I'm not in a position where I don't mind eating it. So occasionally out of politeness, I eat it.
And then pass out.
Well, then I look at my thing, or I fake taking a phone call and go, oh, I have a gig I didn't expect. I need to just, and like, because I don't want to embarrass my family by passing out in front of them from their food.
Why don't you just say, I can't eat pork?
I do, I'm getting better at it. Now I'm, you know, a grown married man in my 30s.
Sometimes you have to be vulnerable. You just have to say, this is a thing for me. And I hope that people will respond in a loving way.
If you've got, pardon my metaphor, the balls to come out to your farmer family in South...
At 10.
In Otago, in the 90s, saying, hey, I'm going to be vegetarian. Does you know, is there, when you say water off a duck's back, does that come from, you know, being able to pull a move like that?
I think I'm just really stubborn. And I guess for me as a kid, I just couldn't see another way. I just couldn't eat an animal because I loved animals so much and I just couldn't do it. So I dug my toes in and I called my parents bluff. And they eventually, they were supportive of it eventually, but initially I guess there were lots of people trying to convince me otherwise. I guess you do have to kind of, to a degree, have blinkers on when you work in television and just stay really focused on what it is that you care about, what you're trying to do, and not let, because some of the harshest criticism, in fact I would say the harshest criticism, comes from me.
Yeah, right.
No one can be more of a critic than I can be, and so you have to kind of learn to quieten that voice as well as the ones that you might hear from the wider community.
Eating fried chicken in the shower. No chickens were harmed in the creation of this episode.
Because it seems like you've like built up some pretty strong defense mechanisms against like critique. Right? Kind of like, yeah. And I mean that in a complimentary way. Like, you know, what I'm hearing is, yeah, a lot of people come in and go, you should do this. And you're like, no. And you're like, you're quite strong in yourself. Is that something you've built, or
potentially? Yeah, I mean, I haven't. I obviously, that's how you see it from your perspective, and I don't ever really see myself like that. But I think that you do have to know who you are and what you care about and what you believe in, and then stick to that, because otherwise you would be changing direction every 5 minutes, and nobody could possibly keep up with that. So I know that I care about the environment. I know that I really care about climate change. I know that one of the really good things I can do for both of those causes is not eat meat. And yeah. I also really just still to this day love animals, you know, and yeah. I just, I don't ever see a day where I'll change that stance.
But also, I mean, like, you're a mountain climber.
Well, I'm a trainee mountain climber.
What does that mean?
I've only done one. I've only done one mountain, Mount Taranaki.
Oh, yeah.
Which, off the top of my head, is 2,518 metres. This is the first thing you need to learn, James, is that people that like to climb mountains, they know how high they are.
Did you like tick it off as you climb? No.
Sometimes you do think, 100, how much 200. Further. Well, my mountain instructor, buddy that I'm learning all these skills from, he has a watch that tells him. And actually partway up he said, oh, I needed to recalibrate, and actually we're only this high. We'd lost a couple of hundred metres.
Do you lose faith in your mountain climber when they when they lose how high you are?
Not this one. No.
Do you find it clears your mental health?
Oh, it has been so brilliant. So earlier this year, you know, winning Dancing with the Stars, which was, I think at the time I called it a beautiful surprise, and it was. It was, it was just something I did not think was ever possible. So that was like hitting this absolute high, right? What did you call it? The post-show blues or the...
Yeah, post-show blues.
That kicked in. And I think because I was just totally... I was physically and emotionally exhausted. I felt really flat. Dangerously low, can based on how I normally am. I'd never really felt like that before, and I was aware of what was going on. I knew that it was because of the extremely busy time that I'd had with dancing. I did Aaron and I, my dance partner, we did 104 days in a row
of dancing,
of dancing and live shows. Live shows 6 days a week. The seventh day was a rehearsal day, so 104 days in a row, plus the news in there as well, my normal full-time job.
Yeah, that's not intense.
And, you know, towards the end of it, we started training 4 hours a day with my normal job, and we ramped it up, so it was six, and then it was eight, and then towards the end, we were doing 12 to 14-hour days, because we had to, learn two dances. But anyway, came out the back of that, and I just, I felt, yeah, it was definitely like the best thing that happened in the year. It was incredible. But then, sort of, strangely, it led to like the worst part of my year, which was immediately afterwards when I just felt really, really down. And then I started speaking to a friend who suggested that I look at climbing a mountain. And again, I thought, that's ridiculous. I don't know anything about mountains.
Is that a friend? If you unload your problem, I'm feeling really down. You should get up that mountain. We'll talk when
Let's
you get
climb
back.
A mountain. And my response was, that's ridiculous. No way, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Mountains are really scary and difficult places. People get injured or don't come back from doing those kind of things. But I kind of kept talking about it. And the more that I talked about it, I realized that I was coming out of that funk. And I was feeling really excited. Yeah, and there were all these reasons why I couldn't do it. But there were all dancing was exactly the same. There were so many reasons why I'd never danced before. I had no idea what I was doing. It was terrifying doing that live on TV. And yeah, but with the mountain, it was the same. And so when we first did Mount Taranaki, it was possibly one, well, I mean, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It was terrifying. Someone said to me the day before, one sort of, someone that's done the mountain a few times said in passing, you know, one false step and it can be fatal.
That's not a friend. You don't say that to someone who's climbing a mountain.
And I think the real lesson from it for me was, don't get overwhelmed by the bigger picture, because if you look up at the mountain and realize what's going on, that is insurmountable. You can't climb that mountain. But if you just keep your head down and look and think about the next few steps, or even just the next step, you can do that step, you can do the next one, you can do the one after it, and you can get there. You do get there. But if you kind of, yeah, if you get overwhelmed by the bigger picture, it seems too hard and you want to turn around and go back.
Honestly, I can tell you, I thought the vegan chicken would be the point of difference in this episode.
Right.
But you have the strangest safe place yet. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm not good sitting at home without something to do.
How are you with death?
Yeah, I just try not to think about it. Which is healthy? No, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think it's healthy when you're up the mountain. What about when dancing and they lift you up and you're just suspended there? And like, are you thinking about death? Are you thinking about the ridiculousness of the patriarchy? Are you thinking about what?
I'm thinking about whether or not my outfit has flicked up and everyone can see my bum.
Oh, right.
That was happening with one outfit. It had this beautiful lace on it, but every time I did this particular move, it would stick to itself.
Has your bum been on television before?
It's now.
Is it now the debut?
I'm hoping nobody noticed, but I think there were flashes of it, so that's happened. Wow, 2018.
Have you been that vulnerable in a performance before?
Oh my God, absolutely not. No. And so before I agreed to do Dancing with the Stars, you know, one of the reasons why I really didn't want to do it is because I was going to have to be vulnerable. I was going to have to show people a lot more of who I actually am. Which I'm cool with. I'm happy. But as a newsreader, people don't necessarily see a lot of actually who you are. So in a way, it was going to be, I guess, if you were writing a pros and cons list, people getting to know me would be a pro, right? Mm-hmm. be on the good column, but also what if they didn't like me?
Yeah.
And so that was a fear that I had going into it. I was pretty scared about. Yeah, I did feel incredibly vulnerable on that show.
Yeah, right. What do you do on a day to day?
Well, I think one of the most important things for me, and particularly coming out of doing that much exercise, was getting back into going to the gym. So started going to all those crazy classes that people go to that I thought I would. I would hate it, but in fact I loved it. And
are you really good at it now because you've got this core?
No, well,
like,
I mainly do cycling. I do the spin classes, which are kind of like clubbing for middle-aged people. You should try it. Okay. You
want to
come with me?
Yeah, I'll come. I'll come and spin cycle.
Because the music is amazing, and you're like, I never thought I would be one of those people, but I love it. I love it so much.
Eating fried chicken in the shower, harder to do outdoors, but worth the wait.
Do you get anxiety? Do you get anxious?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went through a period last year of actually having proper severe anxiety.
Right.
And it was such a, well, I say revelation. It was awful. But I suddenly realised this is what people talk about when they talk about anxiety. I always sort of thought anxiety was feeling like scared or stressed out about something, but you can manage it, right? But I realise actually sometimes you can't. It becomes bigger than you are.
Mm.
And you need help with that. So, it is pretty scary, especially for someone like me that works in live television. And I kept thinking, what if this happened live on air? Mental health is, it's something we're starting to talk about more, but I think, yeah, the conversation just needs to be moved on as much as possible. And I hope that if people, I don't know if they hear about, you know, me going to see a psychologist on a sort of semi-regular basis, sometimes I kind of don't go for, you know, a month or so, and then I might pop back in and you think, what am I even going to talk about? But something always comes up, you know? But I think if people can hear about that and think, okay, that's help them, maybe they might do it, and it might help them as well. I'm a crier, so I'm not going to cry today.
That's all right.
Fingers crossed. No, but I do, I cry at the drop of a hat, and I always have done ever since I was a kid. And yeah, so I knew that going to see somebody to talk about my feelings, that I would probably spend an hour crying.
Yeah. So, that's quite. I find that quite cathartic.
Oh, yeah, but are you a crier? Do you cry when you don't want to cry? I mean, I can, I do.
But I also, because I'm a Kiwi male and I've grown up, and my trick is I'll find a sad movie or a movie which I know hits me emotionally.
Uh-huh.
I may have seen it ages. But I'll get some, you know, some fried chicken or something. But this and I'll watch
and
the film.
You want to have a, you do it.
Because I know I need to get out. I did it actually a couple of weeks ago with Coco, the Pixar film.
I haven't seen it.
So, keep that one in the back pocket for when you need a good cry.
Filing that. Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Difficult question now. Bath or shower?
I love a good bath.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love a good bath. But I mean, it's an event, isn't it?
It has to be.
It's not a daily.
No.
Can't be a daily kind of a.
It'd be great if it could.
It would be great.
Time.
You in and out of the shower. Yeah, I mean, take the coffee in if you need to.
Ideal bath. Ideal bath scenario.
Ideal bath scenario. Probably some bath salts sprinkled in there.
Good for the cycling legs.
Yeah, Epsom salts. Mm-hmm. Really good. Yeah. And a book.
Yeah,
that's. If I'm having a bath, it's to unwind, and so I have my book there, phone's turned off.
Physical book, or like, do you do the pad?
No, I'm a proper book.
Yeah, how come?
Well, I have a buddy, well, I only know him from the bookstore. Andrew, my friend, has a bookstore up on Jervoise Road. And
of course, your friend has a bookstore, because it's New Zealand.
Hey,
of course,
you're he's also a mountaineer.
Is he a mountaineer?
Yes, so we talk about
mountains. Did you meet him through the mountaineer?
No, I just met him by buying a book one day. And so I go in there and I say, I need another book. And Andrew is like, what about these? And he recommends them to me. And we were talking about Antarctica.
Have
I told you I've been there three times?
Yeah, well, see, but you've done it very humbly and not overstating how far you've gone.
I was saying to my producer the other day, because we're going camping on Ruapehe, and I said, you know, the last time I went camping was in Antarctica. And he said, can't you just be normal and go to the Coromandel?
Oh, come on, man. McRoberts is like in war zones.
Exactly.
Like, you can't go to Antarctica.
I can go, yeah, exactly.
He hasn't even done dancing yet.
Well, he's going to be good.
Yeah?
He's going to be very
good. Have you seen him dance?
I don't think I have, but you can tell.
Does he have to wear the little togs with the sequins too?
Yeah, the guy's shirt. Have the togs in the bottom.
Really?
And then the pants go over the top.
I reckon you should just bring one of the outfits that you wore in and just leave it on his chair before the 6 o'clock news each night. Just to say it's coming for you, mate.
He's excited. It's going to be good. It's a roller coaster. It's incredibly fun.
Have you done war zones?
Mm-mm.
Does that speak to you in any way?
I think...
It's fine. This is not the optimal chicken eating question.
I haven't been to war zones, no. But it is incredibly important to have journalists in war zones. As close to what's going on as possible. So that people can know what's happening and the people that are involved can be held to account.
Because they need people who are good at climbing mountains.
Do they?
And a lot of those war zones have mountains, my friend.
Do they?
It seems like this is the next chapter. They also need people who can survive on eating anything that's there. So if you can cook a salad and climb a mountain, you're halfway to being a
probably
war zone.
More just a muesli bar and some nuts if you're lucky.
Like some Milo.
Love a good Milo.
Love a good Milo.
Love a good Milo, yeah.
Have you had to use the bathroom on the mountain while you're climbing up?
Look, why does everyone ask that question?
Generally because that, to me, is the most terrifying part of climbing the mountain.
Really?
I'll go up, I'll fall off, but don't ask me to, you know, drop trowel.
Well, because mountains are a beautiful, pristine environment, you've got to take everything off the mountain with you.
So, paper bag?
I'll probably go plastic.
Plastic, yeah. Poop scooping yourself on the mountain.
I haven't had to do that yet, but in Antarctica, you know, there's a no yellow snow policy. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, any waste that is anything that's taken into Antarctica is brought back again. And so when you're camping, I've been lucky enough to camp up in the Freeze Hills and the Dry Valleys for almost a week up there, and then out on the sea ice over the Ross Sea last time I was there about a year ago. And so you pee in a bottle and then it goes into a bigger container. Just combine your pee with everyone else's pee and then that gets helicoptered back to base.
You don't have to drag it along with you?
No, you don't. But you do throughout the day. You've got your own. You've got your drink bottle and then your pee bottle. And if you're a girl, you have a little device thing that kind of makes it easier to pee standing up.
Shiwi. Oh, there you go.
And it's amazing how often I've talked about this. Oh, because really? Everyone wants to know.
I'm sorry to
about
bring back
those details. But it's part of it.
This is the price of celebrity.
Get used to it. And it's not, I mean, because I'm kind of a little bit sensitive about that kind of stuff. But, you know, like it's a little bit embarrassing. But, well, just get on with it. Be vulnerable.
Embrace vulnerability. You'll be advertising a shiwi next year. That's
oh my gosh.
When I was in Antarctica. do you have anything else you'd like to share in the show?
Well, thanks for having me. I'd like to say thanks for having me with the chicken nuggets. And yeah, I guess, you know, if we've been talking about mental health today, I think it's just really important to say that you know, it's okay to talk to people and to say that you're not having the best time. I mean, I did not realize that one of the lowest points for me was going to come after one of the highest points for me. But it did, and I was really lucky to have people around me that I could talk to about it, and I went and saw a professional, a psychologist, and through my own kind of, some may say, crazy self, came up with a solution, which was to put another big challenge in front of me and work towards that. But we've got to have these conversations, so good on you for starting them.
Oh no, thanks for coming out. How do you see yourself, out of curiosity?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Is that a tough one?
That's a tough one. I don't know.
I feel like you've got a strong sense of yourself. That's the only reason I ask.
Well, oh, gosh. I don't know.
I'm not asking you to brag. You don't have to humble it. I'm just curious
How do I view myself? I am just someone who tells some other people about some stuff that's happened.
Oh, that's gangster.
That's my job. That's what I do.
That's very gangster.
And I remind myself every day that the stuff that I'm telling them about is important and they need to know about it. Yeah, but that's all it is, really. That's all it boils down to. And then, yeah, and then me on the side of that, I guess.
I dance, I climb mountains.
Vegetarian.
Vegetarian. Vegetarian.
Yeah.
Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower was produced by Charlie Bleakley and presented by me, James Nokise. The engineer is Blair Stagpole. The executive producers are Justin Gregory and Tim Watkin. Subscribe to every episode of this podcast at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio Public, or at radionz.co.nz/series. And while you're on Apple, please rate us by clicking on ratings and review, then the stars. But only give us 5. It's really simple and means way more to us than it does to you. It's a great way to spread the word and get me more free fried chicken. If you want to share your safe space or comfort food, tweet me at James Nokise. All complaints can be tweeted to RNZ. Faftailava, matewa.
This podcast is made possible by the RNZ New Zealand On Air Innovation Fund.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.